Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning, and we do give you a very warm welcome into our service. Brother Gary's not feeling too well this morning. It's just a bit of a cold, he thinks, and the family, so just as a precautionary, they're going to stay at home. And then Brother Samuel hasn't been too well. He's a lot better. The rest of the family wasn't too bad. And then Big John, our elder, had a very bad pain in the side, went to hospital and everything, and he says he's feeling a lot better. So we're praying for all these brethren for the touch of the Lord. Also want to pray for, I don't know if you remember, I prayed for a woman in America. Her husband was very, very ill, very close to death. He was called Robert. I think his second name's Kay and Linda Kay. God raised him up. That man was given up to die many years ago, but the Lord raised him up. And I messaged his wife. She said he's out fixing the car, but he took COVID again. I guess that's over a year ago. But he took COVID again. He's very ill, but he's coming through it. They've been moved out of the intensive care into the recovery ward, but we want to pray for Robert. So he got COVID, God touched him, and he's got it again. And we know that COVID, some people think that it's absolutely rubbish, but I can assure you it's real. I believe it's real. But then Jesus is real as well.
Amen.
That's the thing you have to remember. And even though COVID's real and people can get COVID, most people that's healthy do recover from it. It has killed people, there's no doubt. So we're doing whatever we can as a church. If we don't do anything, they'll say we're a bunch of agents. So we're doing what we're meant to do. So that's why our brothers put up the different things, and we appreciate that. And you want to wear a mask in church, feel free to wear it. If you don't, feel free as well. It's every individual's choice, but nobody's going to say anything for or against till you. It's your own choice, and we're trying to go by whatever rules they have, what we can abide by, but ultimately we're trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. And we have plenty of space in here. That's one good thing about this hall, and we really appreciate that. I've been trying to cover a series of services on the offices in the church, and maybe everybody didn't get to hear the week we did on the deacons. But that's what I've been trying to cover, and I want to continue with that this morning. And next Sunday morning, if I ask Brother Laurie here, most of us don't really know Brother Laurie too well, but Laurie's a man that's preached over different parts of the world. And I want Brother Laurie next Sunday morning, if he'd share his testimony for the Lord next Sunday morning. And then the Sunday morning after that, if you can remember, Brother Ian then, if he'll take the service after that. So next Sunday morning, Brother Laurie. And I want Laurie the freedom to share his testimony. I know he's lots of a testimony, the things that the Lord's done. And we want to get to know Brother Laurie as well. And we really give him a welcome into our fellowship. He wants to come here. Let's give him a welcome. So we want to welcome now. We want to pray for those at home that's not feeling well. So Thursday night as well, we did online because so many people weren't able to come, and that's why we did online Thursday night. This Thursday, the Lord willing, we'll be here, and there was an awful lot of people watched. There's about 200 has watched the Thursday night service now, 300 or 400 viewed it. So a lot of people are still watching. People are still hesitant to come out to church, but the Lord bless those that's here this morning. I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And my title this morning is A Need for Leadership in the Church. And as a fellowship, we have been talking about a session meeting. And I cannot find nowhere session meeting in the Bible.
Amen.
There's no such a word. Now, the word session meeting is a Presbyterian doctrine. But there is government in the church.
Yes.
So if a session meeting is scripturally like a government, then that's fine. You can have the session meeting, but it's government, it's the Bible term. There has to be a government in the church. And that government's made up of elders. And a pastor's an elder. Not only is a pastor an elder, but but a pastor is also a teaching elder. Now, a man can be gifted. Some people have talked about this. Can a man hold more offices than one? Absolutely. You got a man that can hold more offices than one. I was thinking about this week, and then we're going to read this. James McConnell is a perfect example. James McConnell pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle, but he was definitely an evangelist.
Amen.
But he pastored Whitewell, and he was a bishop. Ian Paisley pastored the Martyrs Memorial, but he was one of the great evangelists this country's ever seen. Everyone would agree with that. William Branham pastored the Branham Tabernacle. He was a prophet, and the angel told him, do the work of an evangelist. Pastor, prophet, and he done the work of an evangelist. So you can't limit a man to what you think. Because if God gives that man the ability and the gifting, he can do whatever God leads him to do. Now, it must be God.
Amen.
Now, all elders are not apt to teach. You can have elders because they're older, but you can have elders that's called to God that are apt to teach in the church. And then there's different offices and different things. So we're going to look at that, the Lord will. Let's read Jeremiah 3, verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let us come this morning, and we're going to go to Ephesians after this, but let us come and bow our heads. And if you have a need, I want you just to lift your hand up to the Lord, and we'll pray for you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. And we want to pray for those that couldn't be here. Heavenly Father, we humbly, reverently bow before you in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that everything will bow to the name of Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth, to the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we make you Lord of our lives and Lord of this service in the name of Jesus Christ. We call every spirit subject under the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Brother Samuel and his family that you'll touch them and raise them up. For Elder Brother John, give him a mighty touch and raise him up in the name of the Lord. We pray for Brother Gary and his family, cover them with your blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. For all others that couldn't be here, Lord, you know everyone. Touch their hearts. Heal them and deliver them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you for everyone that raised their hands in this room this morning, Lord, that thou will meet that name in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Pray for Sister Linda Kay and for her husband Robert. Lord, I'm asking you to bring them out again. Raise them to health and strength, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost now to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless each one. And you may be seated. Praise God. I want to thank each one that prayed for James. He's here this morning. I think he's sleeping. But he's a lot better. He spent last Sunday in hospital. But he's a lot better. Bad with asthma. My oldest girl had asthma, but she grew out of it. And I believe the Lord touched her as well. I think it was Brother Dixon prayed for our Hannah. And the Lord healed her. Brother Dixon's just a bit like Brother Laurie here, isn't he? You know, about your size, Brother Laurie, and God's really so wonderful, isn't he? We want to look really from Ephesians chapter 1 and read many different verses. Paul teaches the church an emphasis concerning structure and function as a church. He speaks of them as a body. So the church is a body. A body. Now, in the natural, a body has to function. In the natural, if your body doesn't function right, then, you know, if your head or your feet, you know, you want your whole body to function right. I was out walking yesterday with the wife. We go for a walk when we can with the dogs. And a few weeks ago, I was out walking and I pulled a muscle in my calf muscle. I'm sure everybody knows what a calf muscle is. Don't I have done it. Almost home, just went. And I hobbled about for about a week, and I got over that, and then I slipped out the back heard it again. So I got over that yesterday out again, and it went again. So I couldn't just function 100% right. I was struggling because the calf muscle was pulled. But in the spiritual, it's the same. The body must function together to work. And if there's discord in the body won't function. And the devil wants to sow discord amongst his body. He wants to sow into people discord so that the body won't function right. But the Lord wants the body to function right. And the blood of Jesus Christ going round the whole body so that it functions. In Ephesians 1 verse 22 to 23. And it put all things under his feet. Hallelujah. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's the Lord now. Which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 2. And I know our brother Matthew will put these up. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So it was through the cross, by the work of Christ on the cross, that he reconciles the whole body. Now remember, God knows who is part of his body. And even before you were saved, the Lord knew you. And he predestined you from the very foundation of the world. He knew every hair in your head. And I don't know where mine are, but he knows where they are. And I haven't lost one of them. I'll get them back someday, praise God. The Bible says the hairs of your head are numbered. And he knows every spar that falls and the hair of your head's numbered. That's how much God knows you. And he knew you would be in the body. He knew you would be saved. And the wee fella that could be in drugs today, or the wee girl in the street corner, they could be part of that body, the Lord knows. And we as a functioning body must operate properly to reach them.
Amen.
Hallelujah, that's the purpose of the body, is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down to chapter 4, verse 4 of Ephesians. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Now verse 10 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens. Now descended means come down, ascended means go up. Now when Jesus Christ went back to heaven, that's where I get the phrase, ascension gift ministries. Ascension gift ministries means after Jesus went back to heaven, he poured out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and he gave 9 gifts into the body. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, prophecy, gifts of healing, working of miracles, gifts of faith, word of knowledge, same 9 gifts. And he also gave a 5-fold ministry. So there has to be 9 gifts of Spirit, 9 fruits of Spirit as well, and a 5-fold ministry for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So the whole thing's needed. The idea of a pastor running everything and a pastor doing everything, it's not even scriptural. No, you have to have a leading man. That's scripture. And there has to be respect for the leading man. Now, that leading man, that God will choose a man, a leading elder. And that leading elder will have to have respect from the other people. And if he doesn't have respect, there's something wrong then. Now, if somebody else wants to be the leading man and God hasn't called them to be the leading man, then you have problems. You can't have 2 leading men. You have a leading elder, then there's other elders come behind him. We're going to see from the scripture, it's not that one man does it. There's lots of elders that God has in the body. Gifting elders. And you know, brothers that preach in this assembly, they're like elders, you know. If they're really called to ministry, they're like elders in the church. And you're going to see that in the Word of God. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians 4. And he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now I like that. It's not to the fullness of the pastor or the assembly, but Christ. It's to him. We want to be like him. I want to be like him. I don't want we imitation Tommies, and you don't either. You want people that's like the Lord. That if they revile, they'll revile not again. It's like William Branham said, if you want to know if somebody's the Holy Spirit, stand on their toes. And if you stand on their toes and watch the reaction, you'll know what spirit they're of. A real Holy Ghost filled person will have a humility about them. They'll have a humility about them. They'll forgive you. Because the Lord would. Look at that poor woman taken in the act of sin. Adultery, and look what you did. The Lord never condemned her. He could have, but he didn't. He could have battered her down with quotes and scriptures, but he didn't do it. Amen. He loved her. He loved her so much, and he wrote in the ground. He that's without sin cast the first stone. Not a man could do it. Amen. Not a man. And I tell you, none of us could point at another this morning and condemn another, because we're only saved by the grace of God. Amen. It's the grace of God that saves every one of us. And it's the same grace of God that keeps every one of us. And we thank God for that grace. I love this. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by what every joint supplieth, according to the factual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's all about love, brothers and sisters. You know, you can have every gift. You can have a man that's gifted, and if he doesn't have love, it's no use. I don't care what gifts he has, he can shake the world. Paul says, if we can operate all gifts, but if we don't have charity, which is love, we're as nothing. He actually says we're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So we want to have love. Love one for another. So that when somebody wrongs us, we can go away and pray for them. And really sincerely pray for them. Not just words, but do it. Really do it. That's the love of God. That's God gives you that love. That's the love the Lord Jesus had. He died for us when we were unlovely. God so loved the world, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means special, unique one. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's God's will to save. He wants to save. Aren't you glad this morning that he wants to save? A building, a bride. That's what the body is. It's a building, it's a bride. Just like a man takes a wife to be his bride, and they unite together and they come together as one. And that bride prepares herself for the wedding. She and they marry and they come together as one. And the man is the head of the wife. Corinthians teaches us that. And he is to love his wife. He has to love his wife. And because the Bible speaks of the woman being the weaker vessel and so forth, and the husband must love his wife. I'll tell you, often... I know with my wife, she tells me every day, I love you. Maybe I don't tell her every day. But it's good to hear it. You might think that's on soft soap, but I'll tell you one thing, I'll tell you here this morning. When I was away from God and I was in jail, that's what that voice said to me. I love you and gave myself for you. And that changed me. That transformed me. That delivered me. Hearing that somebody loved me, done it. And it's good to know somebody loves you this morning. And the Bible says God is love. God is love. Again, when Paul is writing his first letter to the church at Corinth, he speaks of them as a body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 till 27. The word body is mentioned 17 times. And maybe Matthew will put it up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. He's emphasizing that the church must function like a body. It must be in unity, order, and balance. And you know, when somebody's fit and they're at themselves, when a man is physically fit and at himself, I'll tell you, it's hard to work with a man like that. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And when you're physically fit and at yourself and you feel there's a sense of well-being, a sense of feeling good, when you spiritualize that into the body, God wants his body to function well. He wants the offices, the ministries to function well in the body so that the body will be well. Now you can read through all these scriptures And I'm not going to go through, read it all. Our brother put it up, 1 Corinthians there, but look at verse 18 says. Verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now, when somebody says, you shouldn't be doing a certain thing, if God has set you in the body to do it, it pleased him, who else can say you're not to do it? This is God that does it. I cannot set you in the body. It is God that sets you in the body, and it pleased him. The Lord was pleased, sister, to save you. The Lord was pleased, brother, to save you. And whether you're a deacon or an elder or a ministering elder in the church or a brother that testifies or gives a track out or whatever you do, or a sister, God is pleased to put you in the body where you are. It's like a wall. Every stone's different in that wall. But you can't take one out or it's a missing stone. For that wall to be what it needs to be, every stone is needed in that wall. He says that God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. This word set means to appoint and to put in place. So God has appointed, he's put in place. So that God himself has put every single member of the body in a certain specific place according to his own will. Now, when I started the meetings, we know the meetings. I was doing the meetings from 93. We maybe didn't properly start to 94. I never ever wanted to be a pastor, I'll tell you that right now. I saw before what pastors went through, and I decided I'll not be a pastor. I definitely have an evangelistic gift. I'm not saying that boasting. I think everyone that knows me would agree with that. So I thought, I'll be an evangelist. So when I get this work going, God will have a pastor for this work. Then I'll go out and I'll evangelize. But that's not the way it happened. I prayed for years for a pastor, but no one came to be the pastor. I got a wife instead of getting the pastor. Then I became the pastor. Now, I never planned that, but that's the way God done it. Now, when Jack Cole came to our meetings many years ago, he prophesied over me in front of everybody in the church. A lot of people said I told him what to say. Now, listen, brethren, if you believe that, I'm sorry for you, because that's rubbish. That's absolute rubbish. And anybody that tells that, I'm telling you, they need to ask God to forgive them. I never told Jack Coe to prophesy nothing like that. Jack Coe, I never seen the man in my life until they lifted him and brought him to our services. He prophesied that God had called me to two offices, pastor and an evangelist. I didn't tell him to say it. Another man prophesied the same thing. You can judge whether it's of God or not, but I'll tell you this much. My oldest girl was sitting at the back of that service with a tremendous pain in her side. She never had mentioned it to me. She told her mother. Jack Cole called her out in the service, and he said, there's a young woman with a pain in your side, and if you drink 7 glasses of water a day for 7 days, God will heal you. Amen. So we come home, and Hannah said to me, Dad, what will I do? I said, do what he said. And she drank the 7 glasses of water for 7 days. God healed her. Also, her sister, Eileen Jones, there she's at the back. Eileen Jones had boxes, stuff delivered to her house. Is that right, sister? None of us knew about it, but Jack Cole saw it and told her every bit of it. Is that right? Right in the service. He told other brothers about an angel standing. And that angel was seen over that same person when there were just a young baby in the cot. How did Jack Cole know that? Now, you can believe whatever you want, but I believe it was God. Sometimes we need to watch what we say about God's anointed. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to talk about the anointed of the Lord. And you know, Jack Cole, they took him in hospital and they opened him up. And that was 26 years before he came to us. Now, he's went on to be with the Lord now. But 26 years before he came to us, they opened him up and they said, Jack, you'll not last a month. You're riddled with cancer. Cancer's right through your body. And he was backslidden. He wasn't even serving God. And everybody came to see him and they prayed, Lord, if it's your will, heal Jack. But one fella came and he never prayed like that. He said, look, Jack, you're going to live and not die. Amen. And I want you to tell them nurses when they come past you, I'm going to live and not die. Start to testify. Start to speak it and say it. And Jack Cole did that and God raised him up. And he vowed to God he'd serve him.
him, and 26 years later, he preached in Scarva. Now, I know people can say whatever they want about him. It makes no difference to me. God used him. God definitely used that man. And you know, I thought an awful lot of his father. And when he met me, he said I was like a long-lost brother. We just hit it off. Now, I didn't plan that. God done that. But I was glad to get to meet him. Maybe somebody weren't, but I was. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing. Now, those that don't believe in healing today, what do they do with these scriptures? The Bible says they're set in the church. If the church is going to function properly, like a New Testament church, you must have the gifts of healing in the church. Amen. It's part of the Word of God. You can't say, I preach the full gospel if you don't preach these things. If you just preach salvation, that's not all of the gospel. That's salvation. That's good. There's brothers gifted to preach that. But then you need the other man to come along and take the people a bit further. Philip preached Christ on it, but that wasn't the finish of it. The other disciples afterwards said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they believed in Philip's preaching. They said, no. They laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost come on them. They took them further. Would you not want to go on further with God? I wanted God to take me further. I don't want to be saved and stuck. I want to be saved and go forward for God. Praise God. Now here's what we're getting to. Gifts of healing, health, governments. So there's your session meeting. Now, it doesn't say session, but you understand what I'm saying? Governments. So there's governments in the church body. Diversities of tongues. There's another one that you threw out in some places that you mentioned tongues. You know that some denominations have it on their own writing. If you speak in tongues, they will throw you out. So why would I go somewhere that doesn't even believe in that and get thrown out? I remember years ago going to a certain fellowship, and it was a prayer meeting night, and I started praying in tongues. And one fella says, I'm not of any of that round here, and he got up. And I said, devil, get on out. And he got on out. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will not deny himself. If somebody says they have the Holy Spirit, they will not deny the Word of God. Speaking in tongues is in the Word of God. Prophecy is in the Word of God. Healing is in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not deny himself. And there's only one Holy Spirit. It's like scriptures and teaching, whether it's women or men, and they say, I don't believe it. Well, then they're denying the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not deny himself. Verse 28, he says, God have set some in the church. This is now limited, a limited function. He's telling us now that there are other functions in the body which has been restricted to some or a few. So this is not for everybody. This is only for a few people that will hold this office or function in this government in the body. The whole church won't do it. It won't be scripture. But there is people called to do it. The body. Everyone in the body cannot function in these. Only those God has put in place in this manner. These limited functions begin first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, pastors, and so forth. Then you have gifts and everything. But this is the order they come in. Now let's look at this word government for a moment here this morning. Government. Now, he goes on to say, and God have set some in the church governments. You've read that. Governments. The whole body cannot be governments. It is some out of the whole body who are chosen and supported by God to be governments. So there's only some chosen to do it. There must be governments in the body. This was God's plan, to have the government in the body. So we can't say, well, we don't need it. Because if we're saying we don't need it, we're saying we don't need the government in the body. But the Bible says we do. Just as much as we need apostles, prophets, just as much as we need gifts of healing, we need government in the body. Decisions have to be made in a church. How many knows that? For the church to go forth. And remember, we're going near 30 years, but we're still growing. Now, I mean, You say, well, not any bigger. I'm talking spiritually. I hope we'll get bigger as well. That's down to God, not me. But you understand what I'm saying? Now, you cannot take something from an organization and apply it to here. Because if I can't find it in the Bible, I won't have nothing to do with it. I'll be honest with you. And people can say things, oh, but a certain church did it this way. Where's it in the Bible? We're claiming we're an apostolic group. Is that right? If we're an apostolic assembly, an apostolic group, like the Pentecostal First Church, we must go by the Scriptures, our blueprint. And we must be able to show from the Scripture the things we preach and believe. And if we can't win in, it's just an organization. There must be government in the body. This is God's plan. And these governments carry specific tasks which rest on the body. And you know what they do. The word governments. Now let's look at this word government also for a moment. And we've read that already. But we're going to look at Acts 27 and Acts 18. My brother put it up. It's just to show you what partly this means. The word government means steering, piloting, directing. This is a nautical term which the sailors use, you know, for steering the ship. The sailors use it down over the ages. A similar Greek word is used in Acts 27:11 for the steering of the ship. For the master of the ship, again in Revelation 18:17, for the shipmaster. So the shipmaster steers the ship. He has a thing in the ship that steers the ship. Now if you don't have someone to steer that ship, where's it going to go? You're going to shipwreck. So there has to be somebody to steer the ship. You say the Holy Spirit steers the church. He does. But his office is in it to do that. Now you can't say in one hand, the Holy Spirit will do it all and deny the offices. Well, that's wrong. That's like some people say, we've got the Word of God, just the Bible, and they throw everything else out. What about the gifts in the Bible? We have the Word of God. But what about the gifts that's in the Bible, the tongues, the prophecy? Doesn't the Bible say if one come in, speak with a tongue and reveal the secret of the heart, will the unbeliever not fall down, say God's in you the truth? So they're in the Bible, but we have to operate them. Now we don't want a man-made thing either. You can't have a man-made. I'll tell you what, I'll make up a prophecy. That won't work. Making up a prophecy won't work. Because if some wee fella believes that and it's pure rubbish, he could go out in that nonsense. And it might not, it could be somebody's imagination. They have to be proved. That's why it says in the Bible to test everything. Test everything. We read of some having shipwreck in 1 Timothy 1:19 by putting away faith. Some have made shipwreck by putting away faith. 1 Timothy 1:19. They go for a while and they make shipwreck. Paul was literally shipwrecked, 3 times during his travels. So he realized that governments in the church was just as vital as having a good captain in a ship. When out at sea, you need the government and the church. Especially in a storm. And there's no question, churches have been going through a storm with this pandemic. There's been a storm. How many knows that? People are reluctant to come. There's many things as a church. Now I'm talking universally, not just here. The Church of God's had to face this in a way they never come across this before in the sense. In this our time, I have it in my lifetime, I know you have it, where we've online services, we're not allowed to gather in different things, but those in leadership have to make the choices. Now it's easy to condemn that. Well, I wouldn't have done that. But did God call you to do it? Or did God call them men that he's ordained and set in place in the body to do it? If they're called to do it, get behind them. If they're not, leave them. They're not called. Get away from them. But if you believe they're called to do it, get behind it. Amen. In James 3, verse 4, we're told, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So there's a governor over that ship, and the governor controls that ship, and he steers that ship. If we take this as a parallel to our present lesson this morning, that a church, though very large, with many people driven with fierce winds, there's everything going to come through a church, even a small church. You're going to have a lot of things come through your church. False doctrine, false everything's coming through it. And you can blame the pastor on it all, that's all right, but that won't fix it. That'll never fix it. Winds, heresy, winds of devilish doctrine, winds of confusion, temptations, troubles, persecution. What about those in the assembly that get their hackles up? And they'll just spit the dummy out over the least thing. Well, I'm gone. And he offended me. Well, was it the truth he preached? Sometimes the truth will prick people. But if it's off God, let's take it as men and women. Because the Bible speaks in the natural. If you have a child, you have to correct him. And if he's a real son, he'll receive it. A man, he knows that's right. Now, we know there's a way to do it in love. We know that. There are many winds which can blow across a church and come lead to disaster, just like a shipwreck. So what is God's answer? If a whole church full of people is vulnerable to such storms, then how has God provided for such? God always makes a way. He makes a way. Not way as a government and his church. And it's not a man-made one. It says in the verse that the captain, governor, with his hand and the small rudder hem, can steer through such storms. This is God's answer. There has to be a leader in the storm. There has to be a leader. And if God's chosen a leader, get behind the leader. Don't fight against the leader. Follow the leader. Amen. Sheep don't lead themselves. They're led by shepherd. They follow that shepherd. And they know the shepherd's voice. And they follow after him. The word used here for governor or captain of shipwreck literally means straighten, level. Technically, to steer, governor, make straight. This same word is used, and John the Baptist used it in his ministry, making straight the way of the Lord, John 1:23. John made straight the way for Jesus coming. John was used to prepare the way for the Lord. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 17, you read down them verses, if you can receive it, John is a lass. That's what he says. Our brother Mark mentioned the other week. He prepared the way for the Lord coming. He preached, there's one coming after me that's mightier than me. I'm baptized in water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He prepared the way for that. Twice in Paul's travels, we read of the boat he traveled on making a straight course. He made a straight course, Acts 16:11 and Acts 21:1. He made a straight course. So we say first that a governor is one who steers. Secondly, he is one who steers a straight course. And not lead you in around the military voice, he leads you straight. Straight is the way, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Not the word of God. Now in Genesis 42, verse 6, we're going to look a little bit at Old Testament and tie it in with the new, and I won't try and hold you too long. We're alright. Not 12 o'clock yet. Are you enjoying the word of God?
Amen.
Genesis 42 verse 6. Joseph was made governor over all of Egypt. Joseph. God took Joseph from slavery, from a jail, and he made him governor. Huh? I guarantee you when Joseph was in the pit and they tried to kill him and do all them things, tell him, nobody in the natural thought he would be the governor, didn't he? He didn't. But God knew what he was doing all the time. Even though when he was in the pit, even though when he was in the jail, and you know that woman tried to deceive him. She tried to rip her clothes off because he wouldn't sleep with her. And she tried to say that he assaulted her or raped her, whatever way you want to look at it, that's what it means. But he was innocent. And he got jail out of it. And you know the whole story of Joseph. But God raised Joseph from obscurity, or whatever word you want to use, to the governor. Brought him to the top. And God used that man. And he guided the nation through 7 years of famine. When everywhere else was starving, Joseph, because of his wisdom and because he was a leader, a governor, he told them to build them barns and fill it with what food they need. Isn't that right? And even other people had to come to him to get food. They'd starved or they didn't. But that was all God's plan. God had special gifted and enabled him for the task. He specially done it. None other could have done it. This is a perfect example of a man's gifting making room for him. And the Bible says a man's gifting will make room for him and bring him before great men. When William Branham got his call from the angel in 1946, and the angel of the Lord said, "You'll pray for kings and monarchs, and you'll travel around the world," and he told him, "Do the work of an evangelist," yet he was a prophet and a pastor. His Baptist pastor then said, "That's absolute nonsense. That was the devil. It wasn't God," and all them sorts of things. And William Branham really took that bad, and he sought God, and he prayed. He even said, "Lord, don't let a wrong spirit be in me." And the Lord visited him. But he prayed for the king in England. Did you know that? The Queen's father, William Branham, prayed for him. And there's many people he prayed for, just like the angel told him. He prayed for them. And he traveled all around the world and did that. Now I know there's a lot of people that put him on a pedestal. We're not here to do that. We're not putting him on a pedestal. He was just a man, a God-chosen man. And I don't agree with everything William Branham. I don't agree with that. But I recognize him to be a prophet and a man of God. And God used him. But it's just an example I'm using here. Perfect example. A man's gift can lift him out of obscurity and even out of a prison cell to guide and lead people into safety, just like Joseph. Joseph from jail to the governor. We badly need God-given government in the churches at this present time, which will be so we can lead the church forward in a straight, God-given course. There's lots of courses, but they're not God-given. And as we pray and believe God is well able to raise up gifted men out of obscurity in a crisis hour to guide the church through to victory. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying for those in leadership. So you see, when people take that scripture, pray for those in government, what about the government in the church? What about the leadership in the church? We need to be praying for that. Amen. Just like we pray for the natural government, how's about praying for the government in the church? Now this government's not me. There's other brothers here part of this government in the church. I want you to know that. And this is what we're wanting to find out, who is part of it. Who is God ordained to be part of it? And there's only one way to find that out, that's from the Bible. And the Word of God. And certainly the Holy Spirit can come down with gifts and say things. We believe that. He already has done that in the past. There's no problem with that. We believe that. May just say at this point, and I've already mentioned it, about men that's held more offices than one. I think James McConnell is someone that's of a modern era that we knew, that God really used. He was a great pastor, but yet an evangelist. A wonderful evangelist. Not only was James McConnell an evangelist, but he was gifted in gifts of the Spirit. That man stood on the platform and called me out. I was sitting with my Uncle Bobby. I never was in that church in my life. I was facing a jail sentence. I was really worried about it. Heading to the Crumlin Road jail. Just a young fella. Had no way out of it. But I'd get saved. I'd get right with God. But I was facing jail. And that man pointed at me and called me out. And he told me, and Bobby knows it, he was there. And I cried like a baby, I'll be honest with you, and he pointed right at me. And I came and got baptized, and he called me again. I was 15, never said a word to any of the rest of them, just me. And I never told him to do it. I never gave him a letter before I went in telling him what to say. Either it was God or it wasn't God, but it's come to pass. It has come to pass. I have traveled around the world to different places. So it has come to pass. What that man said. Now I want to see more. And I have to keep myself humble and reverent before God. I want to see God doing more. But that man was gifted. He was a pastor, an evangelist, and a bishop. And an elder. And a man with gifts. All in one man. And you see, he ordained lots of pastors because they were like elders. Pastor can mean elder. And he had lots of pastors under him. And a lot of people say, well, they don't preach much, but they were still ordained under him as a government in the body. That's what it's all for. Praise God. Now, you know, I think he's as good an example as you're going to get, really, because we know him. We know him in this country. And you know, another thing I want to say, Dave McConnell, there are 36 going to his meetings. 36 people going to his meetings. And he said he was visited by the angel of the Lord. And he was told by that angel, that messenger, for after this time, every time you preach, people will get saved. Now, people can say whatever they want, but they got saved after that. On every service. So how can you argue with the evidence that's there? People say, well, they didn't believe this. None of them things interest me. That's just people talking. Talk like that should just be dropped off the ears straight away and never even listened to it. God used that man. Yeah. Amen. We shall quickly see as we study Scripture that the local government or local leadership of God in the Old Testament was eldership. Now you have to understand the meaning of eldership. Again, in the New Testament church, it was also eldership. Now, an eldership, a proper elder, needs the same qualifications as a deacon. A deacon must be married to one woman. We saw it the other week. I went through it fairly well. An elder has to be the same thing. You can't have a man that's an elder and he can't, that he doesn't have the same qualifications as a deacon. How would he tell the deacon what to do if he's not doing it himself? There has to be the exact same qualification scripturally for the elder, and it intertwines, it says it. He that holds the elders of a bishop or deacon or elder, and so forth. Elders were placed over villages. And also in the New Testament, there was eldership. So in the Old Testament, there's eldership. And in the New Testament, there's eldership. Elders were placed over villages, towns, cities, nations. You can read Exodus 3, verse 16, verse 18. Exodus 4, 29. Write on down all them scriptures in Exodus. Maybe a brother can put them up. I won't go to them for the sake of time. But you have Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Ezra. And they upheld this form of leadership. They were elders. And prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel directed their message to the elders of Israel. All of this shows its vital place amongst God's people in the Old Testament. The patriarchs passed away and the judges were raised up in their place, after which kings were set up. But during all these diverse areas, local elders functioned amongst God's people all the time. A corporate group of mature elders sitting in council together was God's basic ordained means of leadership and government all the time through the church in the Old Testament, right carried into the New Testament. But how many knows there's a church in the Old Testament? The Bible says there is. When Moses led the children of Israel out of captivity and their God ordained leader and deliverer, he was told, set to judge, Exodus 18:13. Set to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening, and he judged them. Moses done it by himself. And his father-in-law said, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out. So he ordained other elders, special men, to help him with the work. He didn't do it himself, because it would have wore him out. And look, his father Jethro, his father-in-law, saw this. He wisely pointed out what he should get other men to help him. And he said, this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform this alone. And so Moses gave wise counsel. Moreover, Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So Moses chose out other men. You see, if God is a man in the body doing a specific work, don't condemn that man because he's not like you or me. If that man is an evangelist and that's strictly his calling, get behind him. Don't condemn him. Because you can't do what he's doing. He'd win souls. You could do all the things he's doing and see nobody see him. But God's gifted that man in that area. Or whether it's a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, if they're gifted, get behind it. condemn it. Before this, there was mature men amongst the people of Israel called elders, but now Moses sets apart elders as a leadership of the nation who were to be over the people as rulers. Now, some people don't like nobody over them. Now, I myself was like that at school. I hated school. Now, school's a great thing, children. Go to school. Learn as much as you can at school, you know, because it's good to learn at school. I had a wee Scottish teacher. I can't even remember her name. Maybe my mum would remember, but I was held back for special reading classes. I couldn't even read. But I really praise God for that wee woman now. She learned me to read. I couldn't read. But she gave her time after school to learn me to read. And she had a wee Scottish accent. Miss Alexander. And you know, she learned me to read. And I thank God for that wee woman. Because God knew one day, Tommy's going to need to be able to read. I didn't know it then, but God knew it. And that woman was especially there to learn me to read. I know she learned others, but I'm glad she did. I tried to get out of school as quick as I could. Me and my mate, we burned our books one day, and then we discovered with 3 more months to go. And we hadn't a book. We were going to run off of the army, brother. We were heading away. And big fella Chambers, you know. And praise God. You know, his father listens in on the broadcast, you know, when we do the meetings, and it's wonderful. I pray God will save every one of them. But we need elders. Again, we see later, 70 elders are specially chosen. And I'm coming to close. It's 5 past and I'm closing. Special, separated out and anointed. Anointed. This is the key, brothers. There has to be an anointing. You can have somebody that's an elder by age, and they can say things, but if they're not called to do it, doesn't make them an elder in the church. There has to be an anointing. An anointing is God's way. All through the Old Testament, God anointed them. All through the New Testament, the men God chose, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Let me just mention a couple more things as I come to close. So, eldership, God's government and the nation, and carry the burden of the people alongside Moses. That's what they did. It is amazing that these were very necessary leaders. And you know something about these leaders? I guarantee you can't tell me their names. Now, I think our brother Gary preached 1 week about the names, you remember, about men that weren't mentioned much in the Bible. Do you remember that? He preached a good wee message. And here's men here, they're not even named. These men weren't named. They didn't want their name up on the board. They weren't even named. But they were elders and they were anointed. And the people knew them. Their names mightn't be down here, but the people knew them. Because they were God's chosen elders. And God wants men not to get their name up on something or I'm famous, but God wants men that's humble, that can deal with the people. Let us stand on our feet. Praise God. I trust the Lord's blessed you from something I've said this morning. And we're going to be back at 6 o'clock this evening. And I want to preach on 3 steps to light of the gospel message. Pray for the service. You're welcome to come. I'll be online as well. 3 steps to light. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need this morning, just lift your hand to the Lord. And I know I've already prayed for people, but God bless each one. God bless each one. And I believe there's men in this room with a call of God in your life. A call of God on you. And the Lord loves you. There's people I want to pray for as well, and friends of mine, they're not here this morning, but needs a real touch from God. I'm not going to mention names, but the Lord knows them. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for your leadership, for the Word of God, for our absolute. And a day, Lord, when people's going every way, Lord, help us to stay straight. Help us to stay in the straight path and follow the God-given leadership you have ordained and anointed in this very hour. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ above all and the sacrifice at the cross to save us from our sins. Father, pray for me, hands raised, meet every need. Answer the prayers privately. Those that's praying in secret, answer them openly. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking again for all the brethren that's laid aside. Touch them, every single one of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and raise them up to health and strength. In Jesus' precious name. Cover us all with your precious blood and shield us and protect us from COVID and from every other ailment and every other disease. We look to the blood upon the doorposts of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our goings out, Lord, and bless Mark as he leads his songs, and bless the different brethren. And for this evening, I ask you for your help and for your blessing in the service. And Lord, if I would tarry to next week, bless our brother Laurie as he shares his testimony and whatever he feels in his heart. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Mark comes.
Sing that one in closing, "The Comforter Has Come," and then we'll close with a word of prayer, and then maybe our brother Terry will just play something as we leave them. We'll spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, "The Comforter Has Come."
Oh, spread.